Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, thanks for listening to AFR. You want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Steve Jordahl joins us now. Steve Paisley Jordahl donning the Johnny Cash tribute today.
Yep. Today it's
black shoes, black socks, black pants, black shirt, and he's walking the line.
Yes, I am.
And a black tie with, what is it, red dots on it?
Red dots, yeah.
A red dot. Anyway, and black headset.
Look what the name of the tie, just notice this, what the name of the tie.
Paisley and Gray. There you go. Yeah. All right, so Steve,
sir,
we had our news story. We had our meeting this morning to decide about, you know, what we needed to discuss today.
And right.
So you have a list of stories.
Start with
number one.
Number one, we didn't mention it on our story because I just found it, but I love it. You know how you say to some people, you know, you should think before you talk? That's probably good advice, but if that happened all the time, we wouldn't end up with things like this. Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, was on MSNBC the other day, just lambasting President Donald Trump, being in, you know, three times now he's been indicted. And can you imagine, he tried to overthrow the government, and then he came out with this gem, cut 10.
One day our children's children will read American history. And can you imagine our reading that James Madison or Thomas Jefferson tried to overthrow the government so they can stay in power? That's what we're looking at. We're looking at American history, and how it will play out is going to be very important.
They kind of did.
Exactly, they did.
I see your point there, Steve.
Could you imagine trying to overthrow the government?
Yeah, I don't know. They might have a monument in Washington, D.C. built after him, huh? Boy, he's sounding older.
Huh? Yeah, I just looked it up. He's 68 years old. So,
wow.
Personally, from a guy who is getting ready to turn 65 at the end of the month,
yeah.
68 is not that old.
No.
Now, if you'd asked me 20 years
68's
ago.
68's a new 40.
Yeah.
Not?
No, maybe not that. Maybe the new 50. I don't know.
I'm surprised he's that young.
Yeah, he's been at it.
He sounds older than that. And he looks.
Remember when he was a big old boy?
Yeah,
and he lost a lot of weight.
What did he just doing? Some kind of
no? I think he had some kind of stomach surgery.
Oh, I got you.
You want to know who looks old? Jesse Jackson is
he really
he's got to be near 80, right?
Because yeah. he wasn't he there when
MLK was
assassinated.
Yep.
Jesse Jackson's age. Jesse Jackson's probably 80.
I'll tell you, he's probably 81 years old.
Probably. Yeah.
Good guess.
He just stepped down from the Rainbow Coalition.
Did he?
Yeah. Just in the last few weeks, actually.
All right. I know you guys spent quite a bit of time last hour talking about this January 6th trial that's going to happen in Washington, D.C. And I wasn't able to listen to the whole first hour, but you probably talked
your
about
loss.
How dire this is looking like it will be from a judge that has a very strong anti-Trump bias in D.C., a town that has a very strong anti-Trump bias, very liberal. So, you know, this is not going to be good for Donald Trump. Well, Trump's attorneys, just let me put a bow on this, we can move on, but Trump's attorneys have a little bit of a different idea of what's going to happen in that courtroom, and I think it's fascinating. Listen to what they say they're going to do, cut 8.
In 2020, Mr. Trump's campaign had a few weeks to gear up and present evidence, and it was very difficult. We now have the ability in this case to issue our own subpoenas, and we will relitigate every single issue in the 2020 election in the context of this litigation. It gives President Trump an opportunity that he has never had before, which is to have subpoena power since January 6th in a way that can be exercised in federal court.
Okay. What do you think about that?
The prosecutor, Jack Smith, has kind of brought this on himself, because the whole premise of this indictment is that President Trump knew he had lost, but then acted in a way that was intended to overturn a legitimate election.
Right.
That's all through this indictment, this claim is made. He knew his claims were false, that the election was stolen. And so that means that President Trump's defense, in part, can be, you know, we're going to prove it was stolen.
Yeah.
So the
and they have subpoena power, so they can make people talk that may not want to talk.
Because the argument would be, President Trump not only did not know that he had lost, he believed rightly that he had won. Yeah. That's going to be that's a brilliant strategy.
I think one of my first subpoenas would go to Nancy Pelosi, because the claim has been that President Trump at the time requested from Nancy Pelosi 10,000 National Guard troops to surround the Capitol building just in case there was any trouble. She turned him down.
You know what this is? If this trial starts, was it supposed to start in May of 2024, or have they set a date?
They haven't set a date yet.
If that if this trial happens during the primary run-up to the conventions for both parties, this is going to be wild, because you're going to have
it's not on TV.
No, but you're going to have news stories. Well, like the Devin Archer testimony. That wasn't on TV, but everyone was talking about what was said. That's going to be every day.
I know.
Every day stuff's going to be coming out of that courtroom.
But it would be better. I know this isn't probably going to happen. It would be better if, and I don't know if I'm a fan of TV in the courtroom or not. I don't know. But in this case, it would be better if everybody just saw it for themselves. You know what I'm saying? The American the American public.
You remember the Oliver North?
You could sell sponsorships.
Yeah.
You
remember all the Oliver North?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The testimony, the Iran-Contra?
Iran-Contra. That everybody was locked in to that testimony.
Like the O.J. Simpson trial?
Yeah.
There are certain moments in television history that are just everybody's watching. Everybody glued. And certainly that would be. But anyway, who was that gentleman talking there? One of Mr. Trump's attorneys?
That yes, his name is John Lauro, Lauro.
Let me ask you guys. Maybe this was a question for Jenna. When you have multiple lawsuits going on simultaneously, like Mr. Trump does now with three, potentially four, does he have to hire? Do you have to have a lead attorney on every single one of them?
Yeah, but I think they can be the same one.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, do you have a lawyer chief of staff?
I don't know.
So to speak, you know what I'm saying? That I'm just thinking, is President Trump going to have to get up every morning and go, who do I spend an hour with today? You know what I'm saying?
I think Abraham Hamilton III was, I don't know if he was on the show, if we were talking with him off air, but the idea that you get one of the or two of these trials postponed till after the election, because it may be unfair to say, no, the president's got to have four balls up in the air while, you know, four trials.
I don't think that the D.C. one's not going to be moved to.
Well, that'll be in D.C.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. And it's not going to be moved out of D.C. It should be.
Yeah.
I know that we have the quote from Governor DeSantis on that.
I do not.
Okay. Do you have it? It's the one where he says ham sandwich in D.C. You do or don't? We talked about that this morning.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have the ham sandwich
meeting.
Quote.
Anyway, if I were President Trump's attorney, I would definitely, first thing I would do is try to get it moved, the trial, but I doubt it's going to happen.
Right.
I doubt it's going to happen. Because wouldn't the judge herself have to agree to that? I mean,
I think so. In fact, I think the judge would have to make that call, and that would take her out of it.
But then, if President Trump's attorneys were to get the trial moved to Virginia or
West Virginia, then
West Virginia,
they're talking about
West Virginia, which then I think Jack Smith, the prosecutor, would say, okay, then we'll move the Florida trial to D.C. How you like them apples? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can sort of play that game, because he could say, well, you got a Trump judge down in Florida, right?
Yeah.
You got an Obama judge in D.C. But, I mean, D.C. for conservatives, there's seven of them that live there.
Right.
And they live in a van down by the river. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, anyway, we'll see what happens there. Next story.
All right. I'd like to introduce you to a young man. You may have heard of this story Tuesday, I believe it was. This guy, his name is Marcus Schrader, and he's 19 years old, I believe, and he was outside of one of these drag queen story hour events with kids and everything, and he had a megaphone or a speaker and was reading the Bible. He was kind of protesting, but you'll hear a little bit from him about what he was reading, but he was arrested. He was somewhere early. The police were called, and he was arrested. He was on a public sidewalk. There's talk about, well, maybe it was the noise ordinance that he was violating. Not sure about the legal stuff, but he showed up at the town hall, and this is in Watertown, Wisconsin. He showed up at the town hall yesterday and wanted to explain himself, and I want you to hear. This is a longer cut. We usually don't play something this long, but every bit of this is really good. Listen to what he told. This is Marcus Schrader, what he told the Watertown, Wisconsin City Council. Cut 7.
Guys, I hope you're all doing good tonight. I just wanted to ask a simple question. I know, you know, a Nazi group showed up at the event Saturday and people were talking about that. And I just wanted for all of us to really think about this. What's wrong with Nazism? Like, seriously, what's wrong with Nazism? Because imagine for a moment that there is no God above us, no hell below us, no heaven to live for, as John Lennon wanted to imagine. If we are truly the result of evolved stardust and our ancestors were fish and we're the descendants of monkeys, then where do we find our value as human beings? What's wrong with Nazism, unless if you understand that the God of Scripture says that we are made in his image? And so to murder innocent people is a violation to God's commands. As a Christian, I can say that Nazis, what the Nazis did in Nazi Germany was completely horrific and that they should have been resisted. In fact, the number one people group that resisted the Nazis were Christians. And the reason why was because they had a worldview that says that people are made in God's image and that they have worth and value. That's why Nazism is wrong. But if we're going to reject the Christian worldview, then we can't hold on to the fruit that comes from the Christian worldview while denying the actual foundation. Intolerance is an interesting word. Tolerance, intolerance, hatred, love, bigotry, things like that. Because really every culture has something that it's intolerant towards and something that it's tolerant of. I mean, there are things like murder and rape and you know, stealing and just crimes that we are intolerant towards as a society. And so every society has something it's intolerant towards. The question is just, what is our object of intolerance and what is our object of tolerance? When I showed up Saturday, all I did was read from Scripture on the sidewalk. I read from the Bible, Galatians. And by the way, I wasn't reading Romans 1. I wasn't reading any passage that spoke against homosexuality or anything like that. I was reading a passage from the Bible about love. And I was arrested. No reason, not given any warning, not told anything about my amplification needed to be turning down. I was arrested and taken into custody simply for reading the Bible on the sidewalk. You see, as we become more and more tolerant of sexual immorality in our culture, we've become more and more intolerant towards Christian morality. And the more we become intolerant towards Christian morality, the more we're going to see lawlessness in our streets. The more we become intolerant of Christian morality, the more we're going to see Nazis. The more we're going to see people who don't hold to a Christian worldview, who think that everybody is a result of animals, and therefore if we are animals, then why can't we just act like animals? We were called a hate group. We were told that we don't want to understand the other side, and I just want to set the record straight. I am more than happy to have that conversation with the other side. I did speech and debate throughout high school, and one of the things that we were taught in debate is that you can't make an argument for your side until you're able to make the argument for the other side. I've sat down and had hours of discussions with LGBTQ activists. I completely understand the other side. I want to understand the other side. But drag queens twerking on kids in lingerie is unacceptable, and that's something that we have to notice as a culture. We can have our disagreements, But there comes a time when we have to understand that we are all going to stand before God one day, and we're going to have to give an account for what we have done with the children in our society, the innocent minds, and the children who deserve to be protected. Thank you.
Very well-spoken young man.
That was excellent. Who is that, and where was he from?
His name is Marcus Schroeder, S-C-H-R-O-E-D-E-R. And he's from Wisconsin. He was arrested and spoke there in Watertown, Wisconsin.
Now, to be fair to everyone involved, by the way, that was an outstanding speech. To be fair to everyone involved, the police are claiming that they are admitting that, yes, he was not warned that he could not use amplification on the sidewalk, but that he had been warned not to use amplification in another location. Okay. However, the young man is saying, yeah, well, this is still selective enforcement because cars are driving by with radios turned up and people are listening to music and so on and so forth on the sidewalk and in the area. So I'm hoping this will be litigated because there needs to be some clarification as to what can be done in public. I've always heard that you're not supposed to use, without a permit, you're not supposed to use amplification. But his sentiments that he expressed, I'm certainly in full favor of.
I'll tell you who I'm for going after.
Yeah?
These people that take their mufflers off their cars.
I think that's what he was saying.
I don't care if it's communist. Yes. I'm for shutting those people down. Arresting them.
Yeah.
What about the ones that...
And putting them in a jail cell and then have a recording of their muffler, of their car without muffler, and put it, blare it for them.
Music that they don't like.
Loop it.
Yeah.
24 hours.
Music that they don't like.
And then let them out of prison.
Yeah.
Just for a 24-hour hold and loop that thing.
What about the guy that pulls up next to you at the stop sign and you can feel the bass woofer in his car through your chest because it's so loud?
I think that's what that young man is saying, is that there's a lot of loud noise that's going on, and you decided, and there were like six cops. There was a bunch of cops out there to arrest this kid. And
Good for him. What a well-spoken young man. Again, where's he from?
Watertown, Wisconsin.
Do we have that story on our Facebook page? So if you go to our Facebook page, Today's Issues, we post the story Steve just talked about. So we'll have the you want to hear and watch that man, that young man?
Yeah. Again, absolutely, go there. Folks.
Brent, go to notthebee.com. Everybody.
That was a great, by the way, it was a very Frank Turek-esque defense.
Yeah.
Of the Christian faith with regards to morality. Mm-hmm. And the fact that evolution cannot really present a coherent morality since we're all just animals.
Right. I love what he says about if you deny the foundation of morality, you can't claim the fruits of morality.
That's right.
You know?
Absolutely. I read a fellow the other day. He was a Twitter gentleman. He's a liberal. But he's a reasonable person.
Yeah.
That's rare. But he said, you know, he said, why do we need to adhere to a religion? Can't we all just be good?
Right.
And treat each other? Da, da, da. I was going to myself, you've just, quote, you didn't know it, but you just said what Jesus said. What I'm saying is goodness and kindness and mercy and treat each other with respect. He acted like, and the point was, as this gentleman say, those values or those virtues, whatever you want to call them, just don't come out of thin air. Okay, you've got to get a definition of goodness from somewhere, right? You've got to get a definition of morality from somewhere. So where does it come from? If God doesn't give it, then it's everybody making their own definition up for themselves,
right?
Which leads to
Nazism,
right? The secular left, they're always saying, well, religion has caused so many wars and deaths and so forth. I'm not denying that, quote, religion has over the course of human history. Yeah, absolutely. Religion's been a part of many wars.
Yeah, and not just Christianity either.
Right. There were people besides
Islam.
Yeah. But even with that said, there are more people died for dictators who were atheistic, then
right.
You take Joseph Stalin, right?
Yep.
Pol Pot.
And the greatest mass murderer of all time is probably going to be Mao Zedong.
Yep.
Right? Am I right? Of China.
Yeah, the numbers for those that we've named are in the multiple millions.
Right. And they
tens of millions.
They were atheist.
Right.
They didn't believe in anything in terms of morality. They didn't believe those. When you're an atheist, especially if you're, you know, secular, well, it's double. I'm saying the same thing, and you're trying to, your thinking is world domination for me,
right?
Because there's no God to answer to.
Right.
So if I got to kill millions of people to advance my totalitarian worldview state, so be it.
Yeah.
You know, and so
survival of the fittest, the strongest.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just one other thing. That's what separated the United States of America in particular, Western civilization in general, from the rest of the world, be it Islam or be it communism or be it idol worship, is that the Christian view of man is, I learned this from my dad and others. C.S. Lewis and Francis Schaeffer, who was excellent, and Chuck Colson and others. Anyway, is that the Christian worldview is that the individual person is individual human life. Every human life is valuable in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Right. What that young man was saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm glad we have young people carrying on that intellectual tradition of defending the faith on
Absolutely.
The best basis.
Amen. All right. Absolutely. We got 4 minutes, 3.5 minutes, Steve. What do you have left?
Oh, actually, we got about a minute.
Got the bear story?
I wanted to ask you, what you guys, sports fans, for Fred and for Ed, what would you think of if Wayne Gretzky had not been voted unanimously into the Hall of Fame? Would have been a travesty, probably, right?
Yes. First of all, because hockey is better than any sport, even, say, NASCAR.
If someone decides...
I don't like your moral judgment.
If someone decides that Tom Brady isn't fit for the Hall of Fame, that
right.
would...
Right. It'd be an outrage.
One of the greatest NASCAR drivers of all time, his name is Jimmy Johnson, 80 wins in the series, 7 championships, 5 in a row... 4 people in the voting committee decided he wasn't ready or worthy to be in the Hall of Fame.
Did that block him?
No. He's in. He got 94%.
Out of how many votes?
About 100.
Listen, every human being on Earth is going to find 4 people who don't like him. Huh?
You think in a situation like that, there are people who just want to make a point about somebody, knowing that
he didn't sign their autograph for their grandkid.
Yeah.
And I'll show him.
He's one of the nicest guys in the sport by unanimous consent, and his foundation has done so much charitable work.
Apparently not by unanimous consent, though.
Well, no, that's right.
So 4 people out of 100.
Yeah.
Decided they were going to.
Maybe they were confused about the question. Maybe they thought they were voting on the former Dallas Cowboys coach.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson.
That Jimmy Johnson does not.
Maybe they thought they were voting on a ham sandwich from Jimmy John's, and they wanted roast beef, so they voted no.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Fred?
You bet.
Ed?
Absolutely.
Brent Creeley, our producer, we thank him. Jenna Ellis was on with us. Chris Woodward was on earlier. And as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow for Trivia Friday.